I'm Danielle.
I'm Shannon.
And we are Push Push, the girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing.
Listen and subscribe to the podcast across all major streaming platforms, including full shows on YouTube.
Welcome back to Push Push. I'm Danielle Davis.
I'm Shannon Kessler.
And we are your girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing. And what a race we had.
Whew. Brazil was like, wait a minute. We haven't had enough drama this season, so let me just action-pack everything into one race. But we're going to stretch it out. If we've got 24 hours in a day, Brazil said, we're going to use all 24. Give us a minute.
And well, I mean, Brazil made the most of their time. There's so much racing. Another sprint. You know how I feel about sprints.
I know.
So many hits. But yeah, it was crazy. We got some rain. We haven't had rain in a while.
We didn't just get a rain. We got like a monsoon. Like I was really surprised looking back at all of the water and like what they got. I was like, I'm kind of surprised they didn't call that. Like at some point I'm like, guys, this is a lot.
I think a lot of the teams were too. I mean, the commentators kept being like, I think we should probably call it like, or yeah, we should take a little break. And they're yeah, like, no, we're going to keep going.
Which is wild. Again, we've said this forever, but if you're new here, we say this a lot when it rains, like, and it's that excessive. Like, I panic in my car, like my super safe Volvo. It's raining, and I'm like, ah, it's kind of scary out here. People don't really know how to drive in the rain anyway, and it's really wild. But to be in an F1 car, it's just you, your machine,
oh yeah,
and your helmet going 200 miles an hour behind Yahoos that also don't know how to drive in the rain. And you're like, is this safe? Nope. No, it's not.
I mean, they know how to drive in the rain. The cars are just, you know,
not everybody on that track knows how to drive in the rain. Let's be honest.
Some are better than others.
Time and time again, that is, there are people who excel in the water and there are people who float.
Yes. But
we found a couple this weekend.
Yeah, there were some people leaving the track. There was a lot of slipping and sliding all around. Raise your hand if you had an Alpine double podium on your bingo card for this year, because it wasn't even on Pierre Gasly's. He's gone on the record to say that. I mean, wildly unexpected.
Wild. And I mean, honestly, never been happier for the two of them. They just,
oh, I know.
You know, they were getting along. They're hugging. It's like they're six-year-old besties again. And what a time to be Pierre and Ocon.
Well, what a time to be a French F1 fan. I think it was, they said the first time since what, like 2007 or something like that? It's a long time.
Yeah.
Since there'd been two Frenchmen on the podium together. So,
wow.
You know, allez les bleus, like the happy for the French fans of Formula One, because they really, they got to have their time in the sun or in the rain, their time in the rain.
Yeah.
Also just happy for Pierre because he really deserves that.
Yeah, he really does. I mean, he's just been plugging along in a shit Alpine all season, and to get this, you know, third place, just, I don't think he would have even guessed that he was going to be
said
on the podium this season. Yeah.
He said
even just like this whole season. Yeah.
Wasn't on his bingo card for the year. He said as much and said, didn't expect, you know, this year has been trash. But yeah, amazing weekend.
So great.
For the Alpine. So we can start at the very beginning. If you'd like, your boy got to drive in Senna's car.
I think that was probably the highlight of
his weekend. Yeah.
And then it just stopped there for Sergio. Yeah. But what an amazing experience for him, but also just for that crowd. I mean, they obviously love Lewis.
Love Lewis.
So it felt like a very harmonious, like, conjoined ride for the fans and for Lewis. And it was great. I loved seeing it. It was amazing.
It was cute, too, because he talked about how much fun he was having in it and that this is the kind of race car he wished he drove. And he said he was having so much fun that he did one or two extra laps, more than he was supposed to do, I guess. He just kept going, having so much fun out there. And he needed a moment of joy because the rest of the weekend was mostly shit.
Yeah, pretty shitty. I mean, this whole weekend was just a big old bag of like, shake it up, throw it out.
I mean, McLaren had a pretty decent weekend until the end.
Until they did it. Oh my gosh. Okay. Full disclosure, Danielle and I were not the most attentive F1 fans this weekend. We had a lot going on.
Well, she even went to the Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah, so. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't pay attention much to Formula One this weekend. I was a little busy doing some Swifty things. So my apologies
Shannon
in advance.
Went to the Taylor Swift concert. I did not. I had a football game for my son and also for my 9-0 Miami Hurricanes. But I did watch all of sprints, and but I have a beef to pick with my YouTube TV because I often start the races a little bit late so that I can fast forward a little through the slow sections of the race, mm-hmm. because let's all be real as F1 yes. fans, and you can come for me, you know, all you purists out there, but there's some moments of light boredom.
Yeah.
During a race. So if you start like 10 to 15 minutes behind, you usually catch up by the end, but I hit a little jumps, mm-hmm. but because of daylight savings time, which should be banished.
Is that why we were having issues? I didn't even put that together.
I'm convinced that because of daylight savings time, something that went awry with the YouTube TV, with the DVR, the recording of it all.
Yeah.
And it started late, and I still can't get back to the beginning of the race. So
same.
I've tried multiple times. I tried again this morning thinking that YouTube TV may have fixed it by the time, you know, a day has passed and they could have figured it out. They didn't. So my coverage started on lap 30. So I have gone back and paid attention to what happened at the beginning, but have I had eyes on the first 32 laps? No. And does this make me a failure? A little bit. But it's not without trying, because I was trying multiple times yesterday morning and multiple times today.
But I'm with you. So what we're going to do, friends, is we're just going to pick up from where we started, which is collectively like at lap 30. So we will just hit the ground running. We do know what happens because we are, you know, on the internet and can read things. So we do know that Lance beached his car in the formation lap, you know. Also, before we talk
also about McLaren race, made another – I feel like McLaren is having their little Ferrari moments. The strategy finally caught up to them. You know, they pitted before the crash, and Lando is so mad, saying, so everybody just gets a free pit stop now. Well, yeah, Lando, that's how it works. Well, sometimes you win. Sometimes you're on the winning side of that. Sometimes you're not.
I want to get to that in just a second, but I have a quick comment to make about Lance Stroll.
Strolls are trolls.
Strolls are trolls. We've said that from episode one. You can go back and fact check. We stand in this conviction. And, you know, I do feel like I feel bad, genuinely bad for Lance Stroll, because did you see the photo of him sitting at the edge of the couch in the media room, and Lewis is sitting like next to him, but they're far apart. And Lewis just kind of glances over and sees Lance just completely disengaged. Like, there's no life behind this kid's eyes. Yeah. Like, he's legitimately in a state of depression in this photo. And Lewis is just like, you know, gives like a little like snicker of like, man, this kid, like somebody like, come get
bless
this
his heart.
Kid. Bless his heart. And honestly, for nobody to have the whereabouts on that team to be like, maybe we shouldn't let him drive a car right now. Yeah. Like, he's mentally not here, and you need to be mentally only here.
You need to be locked in,
you know, especially, I mean, in any sport, but like, especially in Formula One, like, you're
well,
such
especially
a hazard.
One where you could crash into something and risk life and limb. Yeah,
exactly. So it is a little bit, I mean, I'm not surprised because it's Lawrence Stroll, you know, pulling the strings, but also can we just get a little wellness check on Lance and just somebody maybe send him like a hug gram or like a pint of like ice cream and, you know, maybe just a well wish. I don't know. I mean, I do feel bad for him, but also that motherfucker needs to keep his car on the track.
Lance has I'm the eldest boy vibes from Succession, but yeah, it's dark times.
Dark times.
We've been slipping and sliding.
across slippery slope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just needed to get that off my chest before we go into the race and win.
But like, let's start with the sprint. Yeah. I will say the sprint was pretty, like, it was quick. It was fun. The McLarens really did it.
Yes. Cause they finished 1-2, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, points, things were looking good for their run at the championship up until this point. There was some, you know, discontent between Lando and Oscar, which continues, which again, Zach has a problem with this. He's clearly has a problem with confrontation or just being upfront, because he has clearly not sat in a room with all three of them and told them, or just one-on-one and told them, because on the radio, Oscar's like, I don't know why you want me to switch. This isn't really what we talked about. Exactly. Like, he knew why they wanted him to switch, but he's like, this isn't what we talked about. And then Lando's on the radio being like, this is what we talked about. Make him fucking switch.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, who's not getting the correct memo in the office? And Zach Brown's guilty. Like, his hands have... they're tied in all of this. Like, you cannot convince me otherwise, because he's trying to keep both people happy, both teams happy, like both sets of teams. And you can't do that.
You can't do that.
You have to pick one. And we've been saying that for weeks now. And it's like, you would have thought at some point they would have been on the same team. And I think
they would have finally at this point, maybe earlier in the season. But at this point, it's like, hey, guys,
we got to be united front on this. Right. So I'm confused. Like, I mean, and you know, I like Oscar, and you know, I'm not the biggest Lando fan, but I do have a lot of empathy right now for Lando in this. Cause it's like, we've established this, that Lando is the one fighting for the world title.
Has the chance.
And why is Oscar still not conceding to team orders, or at least questioning? Like, this should just be from the get-go, from Friday, being like, all right, kids, this is how it's going to roll out this weekend. We want fighting from both, but we need Oscar to defend in the back, and Lando, you go to the front. Now, I get Oscar being like, right, I can do my job, but your kid up there ain't doing his. And I will stand by Oscar on this one, because Oscar is a better driver in that McLaren. I don't care how many points Lando has to say otherwise. Lando makes way more mistakes than Oscar does, and Oscar is a better driver.
She said what she said. I don't think they're both great. I think they both have better like skill sets, and I think they're both different drivers. But at this point, and I will get back up on my soapbox, Lando has made the case. He has won the races. He is in the standings. This is going to come back and bite them. Max is going to win the world championship. It's pretty much not in debate any longer. Yeah. But you had a chance, and this squabbling and lack, everyone else knows where the driver standings is. I'm certainly there's some graphic when they're doing media days that has it all lined up. I mean, certainly this is no surprise to Oscar. I just don't understand. I don't understand why it has not been managed. The expectations have not been managed accordingly in-house.
Agreed.
And I understand him being disappointed, but like, you know, your time will come, my friend. You're new here. Yeah, this guy has got the chance. We got to put all of our chips.
Agree 1,000% with what you're saying. I can only just imagine the conversation with Oscar is, right, I get it, but he's the one making mistakes. Lando's the one making it hard for us to do our jobs out here. Like, you get pole position, you're getting assistance from me to do this, but you're not converting shit. Like, at some point, do we want points?
Lando is not converting shit. That's a harsh take. The man is number two in the driver's championship.
Okay, how many pole positions has he gotten this year that he converted into pole positions that won a race?
He has won a race. He's just lost after the first lap. It doesn't matter. He's the one in second place. Like, it just doesn't matter. He's 70 points ahead of.
He's doing it. Yes. With his teammates help. I'm just saying, if they would have put if they're like, all right, if we're just going to let him race and let him drive, I'm pretty sure Oscar would be the one leading with points right now, if he didn't have to help his teammate defend him.
I just don't I just categorically don't think that's true, but we can agree to disagree on this because Lando has won the races.
He's won the races with his teammates' help. Like, it's not like he has, but he's had a better opportunity to do it and he hasn't. Like, he's gotten it done, but he's done it with assistance.
I think that your judgment's being a little bit clouded by your distaste for Lando Norris.
No.
With love.
No, it's not. It doesn't have anything to do with my distaste for Lando Norris.
Like, well, I mean, Lando was the one getting pole position. Like, I mean, on a lot of those races, I mean, he did it again in this past race. He didn't win, and he kind of got screwed by their strategy, but he is the one that's starting in first place the majority of the time. He did it on sprint, but.
Right. I'm just saying, if he's starting on pole, he should be finishing on pole. That's, you know.
Well, okay, Shannon. I think that's a little bit of a harsh take. Do you think every time someone starts on pole that they automatically should win the race?
How many times did Max start on pole and finish the race?
Well, Max is different. The car was different last year, too.
Lando's had a better car than Max has had this season.
So, I don't think from start to finish. This has been a long season. Max's car was arguably in a different class than everyone else's the first six races of the season.
Correct. And then I don't know what happened. And then somebody pulled the spark plug and we're like, I don't know.
I'm out here fighting in the streets for Max Verstappen and Lando Norris. So I want all of you all, like, these are not my drivers, but I want all the stands to know that I'm out here defending their names against Shannon.
Because my blasphemy that Oscar's a better driver. I still see it.
I mean, that's fine. I allow you to say that. It just, the points don't reflect your statement.
Okay. You're right. They don't reflect. Like, the points don't reflect that, but I'm saying the point I am making, and then we can move on from this, is that if Oscar had the opportunity, it wasn't told, to defend Lando, it would be a different story. So,
okay. Well, again, agree to disagree. didn't have fighting in the streets for Lando on my bingo card for this race either. So me and Pierre have some things in common. but they had a great sprint. They went into this race with high hopes. Unfortunately, they got a case of the Ferraris. They got a case of the Tifosi strategy.
Well, okay. Yes, they did mismanage the strategy, but what they didn't bank on was a red flag.
That's what I'm saying. And, but it just was like the bad luck of the.
Yeah, it's like.
The Scuderia had a lot of that last year. You may have forgotten, but I have not.
No, I do remember. And a lot of those Scuderia mistakes from last year were also terrible choices, not just a run of bad luck, but that was also like the strategy.
But they crossed over a lot. The bad choices and the bad luck.
The bad luck.
They intersected more often than not.
So, and I know we have talked about this for seasons too, but like it's a rule that we hate, at least I know I hate it. Like, I don't think you should be able to change your tires under a red flag. Like, that's one of those things. And, you know, people that gain the advantage of it, love it. People that don't get the advantage, hate it. Like, I do understand both sides.
I understand the frustration, but I feel like it's just one of those, like a coin flip. Like, sometimes it's in your favor and sometimes
it's not. Exactly. So there is a bit of luck that does go into that. And, you know, but luck also favors the prepared. So if you're ready for it and you're like, all right, now we're just going to run with this hand I've been dealt. It's kind of like when you get, you know, a +4 in Uno and you were ready to go out and then you're like, ah! And then you got to keep on picking until you get a blue card. You know, you got to figure it out. So again, there is some bad luck that was thrown, you know, Lando's way in.
Yeah.
George's way, you know, again, don't love that for him either, but I'm like, ooh, thems is the breaks. And I tried to find the stat before we came on here, but like this has gotta be up there in the ranks of Formula One with the most penalties given in a single GP.
There was so many that the commentators couldn't keep track of it. It was,
I mean, I felt like we saw almost every flag that we didn't see the meatball flag, I don't think, but we saw like almost every other flag that you could have in Formula One and every penalty that I was like, wow, okay. There were a lot.
There were so many. And Nico getting the black flag was a hit to him. I mean,
I mean, we all knew, at least I was like, if he got assistance to get back on the track, he's going to be out. So like, I don't, he wasn't surprised, you know, when he got it, but it almost seemed like his engineers were. I'm like, do you guys not have the rules on your phone, like ready to go? Like, did you just,
they
like,
did all
gloss
seem
over
like
that? Little... Like, why were you surprised? I mean, he had assistance to get back on the track. That is an absolutely not. And you do get disqualified. So I'm like, why are they shocked about that?
Well, it does say, and I'm going to go to this article because you know you love a rule. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Article 52.3 of the FIA Formula One Sporting Regulations, except for the circumstances described in Article 26.7D or Article 57.3, which I don't know what those are for reference, any driver whose car stops in any area other than the pit lane during a sprint session or race and receives physical assistance resulting in the car rejoining may be disqualified from that sprint session or race. So I think that's maybe where they were confused, because in this article from Racing News, however, what is interesting is that the wording in Article 53.2 suggests the stewards may disqualify a driver on the outlined grounds, not that they must do so.
Okay. So, that goes back to the whole 2021 Abu Dhabi, that any doesn't mean all. And I hate that, but I do understand that the classification is different when it says may. Then yeah. Why did they decide to enforce it?
Well, I think maybe, but that's where I think maybe the confusion came from, or where they're like, maybe it won't happen because they knew the rule says they may be disqualified. So it could be like a maybe yes, maybe no, a maybe see, maybe so.
Maybe yes, yes. is maybe a good segue for, the steward situation in Formula One.
They're busy.
Is busy but super annoying. Did you know this is not a paid position?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Stewards are not paid by the FIA. They are elected by the FIA. They do have to have a super license to be a steward, but it's not the same super license that the drivers need in order to drive. There are three, and then there's a fourth person that is like the arbiter, like decides if there needs to be an overruling person. One of the stewards in this race is a CPA. One is a doctor. Another is a British journalist. I was like, this is all very interesting.
I mean,
they're not
like
paid.
Referees, because but referees are paid, but they usually have other jobs, you know,
yeah.
Outside
they're all...
of refereeing, but yeah. They do get paid. I mean, minimally, but paid.
Yeah. These stewards they're in the sport per se. Like one was a former
driver.
Probably
rich and
one
cars.
Is like the he's a head of like the German motorsport or something. So then they are aligned in Formula One, but I just find it very interesting that the people who are making the decisions are not actually paid employees by the FIA. They
well, it's
kind
of nice that they aren't, because they're like,
it is. I do agree, because you can't be like financially paid off that we know of, but you know, I'm sure
she still could be. Yeah.
Nice Christmas presents or something that they get. But I do think that we are ready in this sport to have a set of the same stewards that travel
for like two or three sets, maybe three,
yeah,
or four
a couple sets.
Sets,
yes, because I do think that it's, you do need consistency. Well, you do need people that can read the rule. You can definitely afford it. The fact that the marshals and the stewards are just volunteers, you're like, this is a multi-billion-dollar organization.
Marshals I get.
Yes, I mean they're doing their job. I understand that, but like,
marshals is like a PGA tournament, like golf tournaments. Those are marshals too, and they're all volunteers. Marshals, I think, is fine. Stewards is a different.
Yeah, like it kind of seems like this should be your full time position, not just like your full time hobby. But
yeah, I agree.
I do think that there needs to be strong, clear, concise, consistent readings, interpretations, and implementations of the rules.
I'm interested. Like, what is the qualification process? Do they have to take a test? Do they have to?
I'll
rule?
Send you the article. It's quite interesting. But it's quite a bit of like vetting. It looks to be that goes into this. But
maybe we just you know, get them on rotation to hit the road. Huh. Nick, there could be like a North and South American team set, and maybe a European set, and maybe
Middle Eastern,
and maybe a Southeast Asia and Australian set.
Yeah. I mean, I guess because then it would still be, I don't know. I don't know how you make it fair and how you make it right, but I
because then they don't have to do every week. Like then you kind of get some weeks off, some weeks you're not on the calendar.
Right. I just think it needs to be less subjective. Like, why aren't we getting the most consistently enforced rules from week to week?
Well, I mean, you could say that in most sports. I mean, there's a lot of issues with referees.
I don't like it in a lot of sports.
Yeah, across. It's a subjective decision.
There's human error in everything. Yeah.
We are going to box and take a quick break. So we will be right back.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstar startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's vanta.com/simplify for $1,000 off.
Like the show? Looking for more Formula One tea? Leave us a review on any platform.
Or comment on YouTube with your thoughts or topics, any questions, or F1 hot gossip you'd like to discuss.
But I'm saying that's maybe why he was bringing it back. I think maybe that's why the Hulk was thought he might be able to erase Silva, because maybe, you know, he knew that May was in there and that he might get a chance to keep going.
I would love to see the exception to that rule. Like, who has gotten away with it that you didn't need, like, you got physical assistance to get back on the track, and like,
yeah,
what was that case like? But
it hasn't happened since 2007 in the Canadian GP, when Giancarlo Fisichella and Felipe Massa were disqualified for exiting the pits when the red light still showed. So the black flag, not this exact rule.
Okay.
But the black flag.
Interesting.
The black flag of death.
It sounds like you're a pirate when you get the black flag.
I know. Well, if anyone's a pirate, it's kind of...
It's kind of K-Mac, you know?
The Hulk.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he got the boot. We lost a lot of people in this race. We lost some soldiers in this race.
We sure did. I mean, poor Alex Albon didn't even start. Lance Stroll didn't even start. Who else? DNF'd.
We lost our cutie new guy.
Franco Colapinto. Mm-hmm. Oh man, love. Was Liam Lawson? Did he end up? How did he? Did he get thrown away?
Did he get thrown away? I at the end of the race, I forgot.
Who I know. I think only 14 people finished. Right? Like it was. I could be wrong. Hang on.
Have you seen this thing about He came in ninth. He beat Perez again.
Sainz, Colapinto, Albon, Stroll, and the Hulk all were out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew we lost a lot of good soldiers.
Good soldiers on that one.
Which the Sainz thing is a big hit for the Tifosi in this in the constructors. But we're still in second, because Sergio Perez is really helping out the Scuderia by just mailing it in and not getting any points.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Helmut Marko is starting to put like scorpions in his bed at night. Like, just be like, get him out of here. Just get him out.
Liam Lawson is really making a case for himself too. It's not super hard, but he is making a case for himself.
He is coming out. Elbows out, just doesn't care about anything at this point. Is like, screw Perez, I'm done with this guy. I need him out of my way. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, at this point it seems pretty clear that he's gonna take his spot, right? I mean, I think they could test Yuki all they want, but
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that those, I don't get the vibe that Yuki has welcomed Liam with open arms, especially given that they're like pitting each other against for that second seat at Red Bull.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure, but I'm saying I think that Liam's going to take Sergio's spot, not
But do you think that Liam would take it over Yuki?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that they're like giving Yuki a shot at it, but I think it's pretty clear it's Liam Lawson's.
Our boy came in third, right? In qualifying? Didn't Yuki start third? And had that whole
pit. I told you I didn't see the beginning of the race.
Yeah, I mean, because it was we had Norris up there, we had who else was it? I think Ocon and Yuki were the top three that started the race. And up until the crazy
pit. It was Lando, George, then Yuki.
That's what it was. Okay.
I didn't hear you say, I didn't hear myself say Oscar. I just was, just thought I should throw that.
Oh, no, you didn't say Oscar.
Say Oscar, did I? Mm-hmm. No, I just said Lando.
Nope, you didn't.
Just to call back to our earlier argument. Yeah, I just think that it's Liam Lawson's seat. And I don't think a lot of people like Liam Lawson. I don't think he's particularly well-liked. I think he has similar Esteban vibes that, like, he's not generally well-liked by his compatriots.
I would have thought last year, I think last year I feel like he came in, did a test run, and did well and seemed to have some likability there. But I'm with you, that it doesn't seem to be the same energy this year when he's around everybody.
It doesn't seem like he doesn't feel warmly welcomed by the grid. I mean, there's a lot of, we obviously always see a lot of driver inner teams, camaraderie, friendships, joking, the like, and he doesn't seem to be part of many of that.
Yeah.
Much of that. Now, granted, he's new, but it doesn't seem that he's, the vibes that I'm getting are that he's not super well liked.
I would agree with that.
I mean, that's the vibe with Ocon too. It feels like he's not super well liked.
No. not so much.
Yeah, so I'm just, those are the similar, maybe they could be the black sheep of things. Even people who are like kind of on the fringes that don't really care, like Fernando Alonso, people are still like, even Lewis and him are joking, and there's, some general camaraderie.
Banter,
Yeah,
I agree. Speaking of Mr. Fernando Alonso, shoosh, what a...
He had a time.
He came back in before the race was over. And remember, because he had a spin out or something. We thought that he was going to be out, and he is like, I'm not out. Like, went into the pits, fixed what he needed to fix, came back out, and made up that lap difference where he ended up lapping Joe. Which again, I'm like, how does that happen? That you make up 15 seconds in like two laps? Like, I don't understand. Like, what witchcraft he has going on? But he's in a struggling Aston Martin right now, so it's like, damn. But I was heartbroken for him, because he was like, guys, I will finish this race, but I don't want to. I'm in so much pain. Like,
yeah, he did said you he's see agony?
Did you see him try to get out of the car?
Yeah, it's like, yes.
Oh my gosh,
that is a man. And he had to go to the hospital. They said he had to like seek medical treatment after the race.
I did not know that. Oh man.
Yeah,
I do feel bad for him.
This article says that he had to like seek medical treatment afterwards. So I don't know if he actually went to like a hospital, but it does say like he, had to go see somebody because he was in big pain.
Big pain.
I mean, he's 43 years old. I mean,
yeah. I mean, like, I'm not recovering after any of those things. Like, that is
things hurt for a lot longer too. I mean, we don't have a race next week, so correct?
Yeah, no, we don't have one until the 22nd.
So I was gonna say, if he had to go back to back, he might sit this one out.
Yeah.
Speaking of sitting one out, poor K-Mag got the bug and he couldn't race. So we got Ollie in there. It was a real just, everything
great.
Happened.
Everything happened. There was not a dull moment in this race. I mean, it looked like even if with the copious amount of rain, it looked like the fans had a blast. Like they were making the most of it. You know, I'm surprised they didn't build a canoe out of things, but you know,
somebody probably did
out of a porta potty, who knows.
Like, yeah,
floating along.
And Max returned to Max did Max things again.
Okay, I want to talk about Max doing Max things on this track, because you know, as much as I'm not a Max fan, I am a fan of exceptional racing, and they we definitely saw that in this race. He, you know, this car has not been what it has been, so you know, he's had a great car. He definitely has the better car of the two Red Bulls. But what he was able to do.
He would debate that though. He said, I saw some quote this week. He said, we got the same car. The shots are just getting thrown at.
Max is never going to admit fault. Do you know what I mean? So he's going to be like, no, it's not my car. We have the same car. I'm the better driver. And it's like, yeah, we know that, Max. We understand that. But, like, you also have the better car of the two cars. So don't be an idiot and think that we don't know that.
Well, we know it. He thinks differently, but we know that that's not the case.
That's not the case, yeah. But he did some, you know, starting in 17th place and to be able to finish that. I mean, I can't think of a more eye-rolling situation than this race. For him, you know, of like, oh, you gotta be kidding. I'm starting 17th. So, I mean, but within two laps, he's up to like what, 10th place or something. I mean, it was
something insane
that he climbed as fast as he did. And then, you know, I will say he did have luck.
Yeah, of course.
On his side. He got super lucky with that red flag, you know, and managed to do what he could do with it. But you also got really lucky that the only competitors you had to face were the two Alpines. Let's be honest, that's not that hard to do.
But other people didn't do it.
They didn't have a red flag. They didn't have the position that Max had.
I know. I'm just saying, you know,
have
justice
for Red Bull to do it. But I'm not taking away his victory because he did drive like freaking decent. It was amazing.
Yeah,
it was incredible.
And the way he opened up the gap, it's not that he just drove.
It was
well.
A 19 second.
It's freaking pouring down rain, and he's putting out fastest lap after fastest lap. He was the only person in the like 120s at one point. So, I mean, he was putting them out like consistent. He was not just like driving well and maintaining position. He was opening the gap.
He did open the gap. That is true. And when you're driving in rain and you don't have anybody in front of you, you do have a giant
advantage,
competitive advantage, because there is no spray coming in your face like that.
Yeah, but still, I mean,
but at that point, Ocon didn't have any spray in his face either, because Max was
Max is so far ahead. Yeah. Also, Max is the king of a great petty burn, and so we know that this has been a whole thing. Him and Lando. The run for the driver's championship. And, you know, Lando has been like, don't talk to me about this because I'm not built that way. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that comment.
Oh yeah. He came out and was like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm not built for this. I'm going to pull the exact quote.
Okay.
Lando Norris, I'm not built for this. he was like, I don't want to talk. I'm trying to, I saw it somewhere, but he doesn't want to talk about it. He's like, it's not for me to like.
Was this in an interview or was this with Max?
It's about the thing with Max. He basically is like, I don't want to talk about the driver's championship. Mm-hmm. It says, I hate these questions so much. There was another one. I saw a graphic on it on social that had the quote. It was like, I hate these questions so much. I'm just going to race. I don't care about where he qualifies. But anyways, so this has been a whole thing. You know, they're talking to the press. Everybody's interested in it. But he also, what I saw is that he doesn't want it marketed. That's where I think I saw it. It was like Lando didn't want the driver's like championship marketed. because he's not like, he didn't want to do like the way it was with Lewis Hamilton, essentially.
Oh, okay. Got it. They don't want it to be like this big buildup of
like he doesn't want like the graphics of like him and Max and like all that stuff. Okay.
We do. We want Steve Kornacki out there explaining, you know, the percentages of you winning, Lando. Let us help you.
But Max at the air at after the race in Brazil, after fielding a series of questions in the FIA's official media call following his triumph in Interlagos, Verstappen said, "I have a quick question. I mean, I appreciate all of you being here, but I don't see any British press. Do they have to run to the airport or they don't know where their press conference is?" Frenchman Pierre Gasly, who finished third and was sitting alongside Verstappen, added, "That's a fair question." I mean, he's like, what? Like, y'all don't want to come if Lando's not here? It's pretty funny. Or George or Lewis, but
yeah.
The king of petty
is out and about. I mean, even when he finished his race, he was like, there's only one thing it can be. It's simply lovely. And I'm like, I mean, I know you trademarked it. I know it's your saying, but it's just like the most giant eye roll.
But I
did what he
it.
Did. He did what he did.
I don't mind it. And I'm happy to have Max back doing silly, petty Max things.
Well, he's only silly and petty when he's winning.
Yeah, like, I know. And honestly, I'm here for it a little bit. If I can't have Charles winning, I want Max being petty.
Well, Max being petty is very entertaining.
Yeah, not a great race for my, not a bad race for sweet, sweet Charles. Just not a great one. Just a middling, but at this point, like, it's fine.
Did you see the comment where Max called Charles decent?
Yes. Yeah. And you know, whatever. I was like,
I'm sorry. What? That seems rude.
Yeah. I mean, whatever, you know, he likes to, he just can't. Help himself sometimes.
Ugh. Again, eye roll.
Oh, 100%. But Charles finished ahead of Lando, which was also good for, you know, the constructors champion. So I just want everyone to know that McLaren's in first, 593, Ferrari's in second, 557, and Red Bull is 554.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. And so- Did you see the big jump that Alpine made?
Well, I was just going to say this. They went from ninth to sixth, which is a $30 million difference in prize money.
Yeah.
That is huge.
It's insane. They were like, this is the commentators were like, they are actually driving for their lives out here. This is the difference. This is the drive of the season for them. This is going to change the whole scope of what next year looks like for them.
I hope that Netflix was at this race, because last year we got two episodes of Alpine because there was so much drama we had to talk about it. But I hope that they were there to capture every bit of chaos that happened in Brazil. But I also to get Pierre and Ocon like happy on a podium together. I need that to be documented on the show.
I mean, I think that hopefully some cameras caught it, because I think it's going to be one of the only times that we see them happy together.
This is it.
My favorite is when they make them do press junkets or like photos and stuff together. I noticed it at Austin, and then I kind of went back and I noticed it in a lot more of the like their controlled brand stuff. Like if you looked at the photos from Austin, whether in the boot store, Pierre is looking, but Ocon is not. And then they like shot them separately. Like there's never ones where they're both like together, looking at the camera, smiling. It's always kind of like they're together, but not.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's, you know, if maybe they even have parameters about that. Like Pierre's like, I don't want to be looking happy with him.
Right. Yeah, it did though. Like the podium, you know, when they get out of the car and they run to their team at the cattle gates, like they took time, you know, to like hug each other. But that hug was real. Like, that is a, like, I used to be best friends with this person and a bunch of shit has happened, but this moment I'm going to tap into all that love and be like, all right, this felt good. Like, it felt like a very genuine friendship hug.
Well, maybe this is a turning point.
Who knows? You know, who knows?
And maybe, you know, maybe this, he's going to bring Esteban back into the fold and everyone will love him again. I mean, I doubt that, but.
I think Esteban has dug his own grave.
Yeah.
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 Pierre out there just, like,
hates him so much. Fernando Alonso hates him so much.
Could you imagine being on the Dark Lord's, like, burn no. book? Like, I wouldn't want to be there.
You have to be, like, kind of full of your own evil, you know, lore to be able to withstand that. Because I feel like he, you know, took the punches. But, man, Fernando hates him.
Yes.
Big hate.
Big hate.
All right. Well, do you want to talk about who your driver of the day and P1?
Okay. Driver of the day is obviously Max Verstappen.
Max Verstappen.
You can't go from, you know,
the back
17 to the front and lifting the trophy and not get it. Like, you just can't. So congratulations, Max. Producer Keith, do not cut that into a clip. Thank you so much.
Producer Keith, please clip that so that we can keep it for the end of the season.
And my P1 is going to the Brazilian fans because I cannot think of anybody, people more deserving than those genuine, like, those are some F1 fans right there that stuck it out through all of that craziness and, you know, had the best time.
My driver of the day goes to Max Verstappen because obviously he has to be everyone's driver of the day. I mean, truly. Yeah.
I think he had like 39% of the vote on Sky Sports. So that's pretty big.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you're a hater, you have to give credit where it's due.
Yeah.
And then my P1 goes to the Alpine team for just really like being in the right place at the right time and making the most of it. Because a lot of times people are in the right place at the right time and they still squander it.
Yes.
They still do something. And they rose to the occasion.
They did.
And they needed that.
I'm going to give a special award. And I don't know what we're going to call it, but it's like, I feel the most for you award. It's to the Williams garage. Those poor men and women were working overtime, you know, because they had Alex ruined his car twice.
They're always doing the most.
They're always doing the most on a shoestring budget. Like, they're like, guys, listen, we can't eat any more than the hospitality snacks for the rest of the season because that budget now has to go to fix the car. Okay.
Do you think the other teams let them come in and like use their coffee?
Yes.
Like use their barista stations and stuff and be like, it's fine. Come on in. We'll get you. Like,
they're
Ferrari.
They're like in the Mercedes family. I think it's like that, you know, that family pass of like, you're fine.
Just come on in.
Don't eat Toto's rye pumpernickel bread. Okay. Don't do that. Anything else you can have.
You can get an espresso in here.
Yeah.
Also a credit to James Vowles for just who stays so calm, so measured. Just so even keeled. That's who you want in a crisis. The world is in the eclipse, in the apocalypse. You want to get near James because he's going to calmly like survey the situation and make an assessment from there. That man never breaks. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see him just like lose his shit a little bit.
No. Just give us an old school Toto just one time. Just one time.
Just like I throw the headphones.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, he's just out there sipping tea. Like,
so, such a British gentleman.
Yes. Yes.
Just so even keeled. So, you know, in the dark times, go find James because he's going to guide you smoothly through. You could be going down in flames, but he will make you feel at ease.
Yeah. So. Another question, because I feel like this is now part of the show. How are your bets doing? Did you make any Formula One bets this weekend?
I did not make any Formula One bets this weekend, but I'm so glad you asked me about my betting because honestly, you guys, I'm on a heater and I'm considering becoming a gambling content creator. I mean, not really, but maybe. Currently, I'm on a really big hot run. I had been on a long losing streak, and I put $25 in my DraftKings like 2 months ago, maybe not 2 months ago. I don't know, 6 weeks ago. I'm up to $900 right now, and I'm making little bets. You know, I'm never betting more than like $10, $15. Right. And I have been cashing out too early, but I have followed me for some college football parlays because I have on 3 weeks of doing these long ass parlays and they've all cashed out. So if you're worried about your team winning, make me put them in their parlay because they win. I've been cashing out too early. I cashed out too early on a $900 bet this week and I regret every minute of it.
I don't really want to talk about that cash out for you, because that was a dark day for me. Although it was only eclipsed by being at the Taylor Swift concert. But just for those of you who don't know this context, I am a Clemson grad, and Clemson lost to the University of Louisville, which, again, producer Keith and Jacob, who run this show at the State of Louisville, they've been very nice and have not thrown anything in my face as of today. But you know,
they have been so kind.
I was ready. I was like, here it's coming. And not a peep. And I'm like, okay. But
we were hoping to meet you at the Paul to talk about it.
Meet me at the Paul to talk about it.
Yeah. Everybody meets at the Paul.
Oh boy. Okay.
Okay. Sorry. We took a turn, but yeah, I did not bet on, I will say that the odds on Formula One betting do not allow much chance. Now, if you had picked two Alpines on the podium, you would have won a bunch of
You probably could have just spent 50 cents on that bet and won.
Oh, it would have been a huge payday. But the F1 betting scene doesn't allow for a lot of, there aren't a ton of, you know, you can't do too much and you can't win too much. So unless you go for like something really crazy, and that very rarely happens, but as it did today.
But
I do have my bet for Max Verstappen to win the world championship. I did put my money.
You did put that. Yep. Well, so, we all hope
not pay very
much, you do that. But also would love for that not to happen. Not because I don't want you to win your money, because I also want to be right and I want Lando to win.
I just don't think that that's going to
happen. But it's not going to happen. I mean,
you just said you wanted Lando to win, but you dogged on him for a full 5 minutes earlier.
I did. I can want him to win because I don't want Max to win. That is the way in which I want Lando to win. It's because I don't want Max to get it.
Oh, this is math.
That's Shannon F1 math. Okay.
This Shannon math is convoluted. It's like trigonometry. It's way above my head.
It's in a league of its own, but I know that there's some, you know, good followers out there who agree. So
I agree that there's definitely some followers that don't want Max to win. I don't know if they have signed up for your full tree of how that happens, but
logic. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Shannon's logic is hard to follow sometimes.
Not for everyone, Danielle.
Well, and then you throw the George Russell of it all in there, and then things really get
complicated. Confusing. I get it.
What if he had been on the podium too? You would have really...
I would have hated that less.
Oh, you would have hated it less?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it wouldn't have been my preferred pick, but I still love and have love in my heart for Mercedes. So George winning only helps that love
grow and foster. Yeah. I have a question for you. Speaking of that, I was waiting for you to talk about Mercedes, because this was a question we had at our home. Mm-hmm. My family, while we were watching the race, about how are you going to stay, you know, team Mercedes? And Drew, my husband, was like, yeah, Shannon loves Mercedes. She's going to, you know, the girls were asking about it, but I would like to know who your pick is for. We still have not identified the Mercedes driver for next year.
No. We we did. It's Kimi.
Oh.
Antonelli. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Little Kimi. So this is a great question, and I'm very glad that you asked it. I am Lewis loyal. So I am following Lewis to Ferrari.
I feel like there wasn't enough excitement around Kimi. As a side note, it didn't imprint on my brain properly. Now that you said it, I have been jogged. But it was so unremarkable that it flipped past.
I apologize
to the crew for that, for not being on top of that. That's on me, and I'm embarrassed for that. But it just shows how like kind of unremarkable that choice felt to me.
But again,
I mean,
remember,
justice for Kimmy, though. Yes, he's great.
He's fantastic. He's great.
So much love.
And I
just
think
feel like he should have had to go to Williams first.
Yeah. Well, I think Lewis had a lot to do with it because remember he was in the press saying, like, if it were up to me, I would want to invest in the future and
put
the talented guy in here now and like give him a path to grow. So I do find that to be, you know, I love that. And again, whether that was influenced by him or not, I don't know. I'm not sure that we'd ever find that out, but I'd like to think it was. But I will, like, I still like Mercedes as a team. I do, and I have too much merch to just be like, I'm never going to be, you know,
well,
a fan.
You could sell it.
Yeah, I could. I could. But I will be following Lewis to Ferrari, but I still will be a Mercedes fan at heart. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't, I'm not going to love, you know, cheering for George all the time. Although George is starting to grow on me a little bit more. I wouldn't say I'm going to go so far as to like get George merch. But he's simmered down in the annoyingness category for me.
I think let's mark this day. That's Monday, November 4th of our Lord.
Minute 54:14.
The 2024 year of our Lord, that Shannon said that she doesn't like George that much, but she can root for him. I think that at some point next season, we'll be calling back to this point when she's a full-fledged George Russell fan.
I really love how you take the slightest glimmer of hope and you turn it into, I'm now going to get, you know, a blow up picture of George.
Yeah, I'm still getting, you're getting the blanket. You're getting the blanket with this face.
No.
I don't know. Stranger things have happened.
I never thought that I would own Ferrari merch, but you know, waiting for that red 44 to drop.
I don't understand how that's
waiting
possible.
Waiting for the red 44.
Yeah, it's coming. You're going to look great in red.
I actually,
the Tifosi really will like welcome
yeah,
you.
I'm very excited.
Everyone's a Ferrari fan.
I wasn't until now, but here we are.
You will be. You know, there's just so much to love about it. And if you love this podcast, there's so much for you, more for you to love on social media. So we would love it if you would follow us there at F1 Push Push on Instagram and TikTok. And also, Shannon, did you know that you can watch us on YouTube now?
I did know that you can watch us on YouTube now. So if you want to see us just enjoy being idiots with the microphones, you too can watch the show.
Thanks to our friends at the State of Louisville. You can watch us at youtube.com/stateoflouisville. All of our episodes, past and present, are loaded on there. So you can catch up if you're, you know, if you're so inclined. You just want to turn us on while you're on at work. And if you're enjoying it, we would love if you would rate and review the podcast and subscribe to us on YouTube. It would make us happier than the Alpine team taking home a double podium and $30 million more. And until next time, push, push.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.